minutes for Monday, April 4th, 2005. I will open a work session on HB 5007, the State Board of Chiropractic Examiners. But Senator Whitsitt is outside the door, so after you receive your explanation, we'll bring him in, or we can bring him in now. Either way, you want to go ahead and get him?
Sure, I hope.
So we won't have a quorum on the Senate side without him.
Because we'd heard it last week.
Yeah.
You probably got it somewhere.
Okay. Ms. Manthe, yeah. Will you give the your report?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee. This is the first time I've gone through this, so if I talk too fast or you have questions, you know, please let me know. You should have a packet at your places right under the agenda. That the top of it is a memo from me to you. Got a little paper clip around it. I'm not going to walk through the memo, but there are two attachments to the memo. One is a work session action report that looks like this, and that's what we're going to walk through. And then there's also a summary of the agency's performance measures, and we'll also walk through that as part of the work session this morning. So starting with the work session action report, at the top of the page is a summary of the governor's recommended budget. And you heard DAS and the agency talk about this. It starts with the approved budget for this biennium, which is the $916,244. There are a small amount of base adjustments that were added in, the $31,049. And basically what that's made up of is a PERS increase and a flex benefit increase, health and dental insurance. The next two packages, I add them together because of a shift for the pension bond obligation from S&S to personal services. Those two packages added together about almost $44,000 really represents inflation.
They add up to what? I'm sorry.
The total of them is almost $44,000.
Okay. The $43,980.
Yes, $43,980, exactly. Well, there's a nice little subtotal. Thank you. There were policy packages of $11,770 to bring it up to the total governor's printed budget of $1,003,043. The next section is all the policy packages, and we'll walk through there one by one. Package 090 is reduces the agency's budget by $1,974. This is their share of the Smart Buy savings. You'll probably see this amount in virtually every budget. Package 101 is the FBI background checks. We talked a lot about that during the public hearing. This will allow the agency to collect fingerprints and have them run through the nationwide database for criminal background check. I am recommending an adjustment of $2,336, which will bring the total package to $7,592. And this adjusts for the increase in the FBI charge going from $36 to $52. Package 102 appropriately classifies a part-time position. It's currently an OS2, and as the duties have evolved over time, it's now appropriately classified as an administrative specialist, too. The Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending the reclassification. However, we're also recommending that services and supplies of a like amount be reduced to bring the package to zero. I have talked to the agency about this, and they are supportive of the reduction. The last package, 801, are really technical adjustments. And again, you'll probably see this package in virtually every budget that you see before you. The $3,148 that we're reducing here is a PERS rate reduction And again, you'll see that in virtually every budget. I'm also recommending some shifts, and this is more of a housekeeping. It doesn't increase or decrease the agency's budget. It does help align some of the line items, the budget for those line items, with actual expenditures. That brings the Legislative Fiscal Office recommended budget to $993,743, a $9,300 reduction from the governor's recommended budget. Mr. Chair, are there any questions?
Any questions? Yes, Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't think we need to get into this at our level, but I'm assuming someone in one of the other subcommittees, are they validating these smart buy savings? Is someone looking at that from all the agencies through DAS?
I'm not quite sure how to...
My understanding, and it's my understanding is somewhat limited of this, is that the governor directed DAS to go through and look at some potential ways to save funds in terms of procurement. They did that. They identified savings. And so what we are now doing, basically, is reflecting in particularly smaller agencies' budgets reductions in those areas that we've identified that they should be able to reduce the amount that they're expending in those areas. I mean, that's...
Mr. Chair, I guess what I would recommend then is that you be sure that we explain to the co-chairs that we're not reviewing that. We're assuming someone else is... It looks to me like it's probably a pass on if you consolidate all your, office supplies, and that's what it was, and then it's proportionate down to each agency. I'm assuming that's what it is, but I'm hoping someone validated that because we're not really looking at that and saying...
We will get an explanation when we get to the next budget that we review. Basically, that is my understanding of it, is basically reducing each agency's amount by what they think the respective savings should be from their programs that they've instituted for Smart Buy. So that's why you see that this is a reduction. Yes,
Representative. I think we should continue to follow up or mention it to the co-chairs. Each of the subcommittees should look at this FBI background check increase and be sure, because we have it in public safety. I'm sure DHS has it, and be sure that we understand or we agree with this increase and know where the... That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Yes. Representative Walker, or Senator Walker.
Who was the representative once, so that's okay. I just wanted to be sure that I understand policy package 102. Did I understand you just say there was a net gain or loss of zero, basically, because we'd offset it with our supplies and services?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Will you go through the performance measures?
You betcha. Thank you, Mr. Chair. The other attachment that looks like this is a listing of the agency's performance measures that we went through in their public hearing. What I've done in the very last column is column 9 on the right side is an indication of the status. And on a couple of them, I'm recommending, although they are good measures for the agency to track and to use in managing their operation, I wasn't sure that they needed to be reported to this body, and therefore I'm recommending that they delete these from reporting them to you, but keep them internally to monitor. And those would be performance measure number 4. Percentage of chiropractic physicians receiving a notice of insufficiency regarding continuing education requirements in response to an annual random check. And performance measure number 6, number of visits to the agency's webpage. There are two performance measures, number 7 and number 8, that are new, and you'll see these in every budget that comes before you. These are standard customer service measures. And we're asking that you approve those to be added.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I would like to hear something more about the rationale
behind deleting performance measure 4. When you look at the agency mission, the mission of the Oregon Board of Chiropractic Examiners is to protect and benefit the public health and safety and promote quality in the chiropractic profession. I can understand that the organization would definitely want to monitor that piece internally, but it seems to me that we would also want to have a performance measure that keeps this information in front of us.
Was there a justification from the agency for why to remove it?
Actually, Mr. Chair, these were my recommendations, and I agree with Senator Gordley. I was thinking that this was a piece of the licensing requirement, mm-hmm. and that it was the actual licensing of an individual that was the primary public safety. But I can certainly keep it in. You don't have to. I mean, Mr. Chair, we could keep that reported.
Any objections to keeping it in?
All right. Thank you.
Now the conclusion. Yes. Is there a motion to approve the LFO recommendations with the change of still approving rather than deleting? Which one it is again?
Number 4.
Performance measure number 4.
So moved.
It's been moved. Are there any objections to the motion? Seeing none, motion is approved. Is there a motion to recommend to the full Ways and Means Committee the approval of House Bill 5034? As, or I'm sorry, I'm looking at the wrong one, 5007, as amended by the recommendations from the from the Legislative Fiscal Office.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Just for sake, because we won't get to do this very often, could we have a roll call?
Approve.
Aye.
Representative
March.
Aye.
Representative
Lister.
Aye.
Senator Gordley.
Aye.
Senator
Walker.
Aye.
Senator
Winkley.
Aye.
Chair Hillman. Aye. Motion is approved. For the full committee, will Representative Wisnett present it to the full?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And when it comes to the Senate floor, will Senator Whitsitt present it?
Mr. Chair, I just, before we close out the hearing, the work session on that, I just wanted to thank Mr. McKee for his response, his letters at our desk here, his response to my questions about the number of unprofessional conduct complaints they had. I appreciated the response, and I'm satisfied.
Well, with that, we will close the work session on 5007. HB 5007, go to the full committee. We will open a public hearing on 5034, the Health Licensing Office. Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Chair and members, the Health Licensing Office and Sue Wilson are here to present their budget to you. The way we've structured this is a little different than what you've experienced before, since they'll be presenting both Phase 1 and Phase 2. The agency will lead off with the traditional Phase 1 information, performance measures, program priorities. Then the Department of Administrative Services will give you an introduction into their budget. High level, you have her presentation at your desk, along with additional information that was requested last time about state government service charges, and then the agency will then continue with the detailed budget information portion of the presentation.
Please proceed.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, I'm Susan Wilson, the director for the Health Licensing Office, and I'm here today presenting my testimony as outlined by legislative fiscal staff. I'm not going to read my testimony. I do have some additional attachments that are included. In those attachments, you will find a consumer protection information piece, and that just gives you some sampling of some of the brochures and consumer protection pieces that we provide to our licensees and to our customers. The other attachment is Agency at a Glance. It's about 8 pages long, and it is condensing even further what the agency is all about. And then some affirmative action material that Senator Gordley has requested, and that is also supplied for purposes of just identifying specific areas that we move forward with that Senator Gordley pointed out last session. The Health Licensing Office is a public protection agency that provides central oversight for health and related professions. The central agency's mission is to protect the health and safety of Oregon citizens who use the services of those providers regulated by this agency. The Health Licensing Office accomplishes our mission by providing greater operating efficiencies, trying to eliminate any regulatory inconsistencies, and providing certain guarantees that our target groups, our consumers and licensees, have a delivery process that is easily understood and as transparent as possible. We are also, on an ongoing basis, looking to standardize our licensing and regulatory processes as much as possible under the central agency model. Let me discuss just for a moment why we are where we are today. The Health Licensing Office was established in 1999 by the Oregon Legislature. That goal at the time was to provide a licensing and regulatory operation with one uniform administrative and management model. Also, the legislature officially drew parameters around the central agency and established governing statutes for the central agency, which are ORS 676, 600 through 992. The idea, again, was to provide general management for boards and councils within a single infrastructure. In addition, the licensing boards and councils under our administration were, at the time, an aggregate collection of independent boards. In some cases, some were also within the DHS Health Division. And the legislature thought at the time it was a good idea to streamline that management process, and it made sense to eliminate some of those layers of redundancy and create one centralized management body. And that's what occurred for the 8 boards within this office. Today, the agency brings economies of scale and standardization for licensing and regulation, unifying the management strategy that the legislature was after. The director for the Health Licensing Office, my position, was appointed by the governor in 2000, and I am now accountable or report directly to the Department of Administrative Services. The agency has one professional staff with 27 FTEs, one budget, and one administration. There are 8 volunteer citizens, boards and councils within the office. They are statutorily and operationally different than some of the boards you hear from in this committee. The boards and councils play a very, very important role, a vital role in providing profession-specific consultation, advice, and in some cases policy decisions as it relates to practice standards, qualifications, and sanctions. We license 15 different professions and issue 30 types of licenses within the office. I've given you a list of the boards, various boards that are within this office, and you probably wonder where the threads of similarities are. We license tattoo artists. We have environmental health specialists who have master's degrees, and we have hearing aid dealers who actually have an apprentice type program. So the similarities are in monitoring and meeting certain qualifications, and that's what the office provides for these licensing boards. We are divided into 3 divisions to carry out all the activities that are involved in those 30 types of licenses that we issue. The first division I'll speak to is the Regulatory Operations Division. the licensing credential, 70,000 authorizations to practice in the state of Oregon. That's the amount of people we actually license. We monitor continuing education requirements and conditions of renewal within that section. They conduct 6,000 examinations annually at an on-site testing facility. We're very proud of that testing facility. A person can walk in with their qualifiers, sit down for a multiple choice examination, and walk out with a license in the same day. We administer and coordinate and authorize 7 types of national examinations for the boards within the office, and 4 types of clinical examinations. Then we move to our enforcement section within the regulatory operations divisions of the office, and they conduct more than 11,000 facility inspections, 1,400 disciplinary sanctions, and resolve contested cases in front of the central hearings panel. We also have a great partnership with the Department of Justice, and have worked on criminal and civil violations with the Department of Justice when appropriate. We're also LEBS connected. The Administrative Services Division of the Health Licensing Office provides program resources for all the boards. We conduct about 24 board meetings a year for all the boards within our office. This section does minutes, agendas, rules, all of the segments attached to conducting open public hearings. They also provide staff support for the communications section. We do newsletters, outreach, education brochures. Again, that's a piece of information we gave you in our attachments, so you can look at some of our brochures that we hand out. Then we have the Fiscal Services Division, and today I have brought Ron Riggs, who is the Fiscal and Budget Officer for that section. The division oversees all the revenues received and make sure that we have historical data and are fiscally responsible for all the funds received and that they're appropriated for the specific areas. We make sure we work within the statewide fiscal and accounting standards. I've also provided an organization chart which kind of summarizes what this office looks like. Excuse me, I'm going to take a drink of water. So as I said, consumer protection is the major focus for the Health Licensing Office, and I wanted to give you sort of a sample, a very small sample of what kind of consumer protection endeavors that might include. In Coos Bay, we had a revocation of some civil penalties and assessment of a fine for a hearing aid dealer specialist that had failed to deliver the product of hearing aids to 20 senior adults that needed hearing assistance. We also worked in collaboration with the Oregon Department of Justice on making sure a Nevada firm, which was falsely promising certain things to the hard of hearing and seniors, ceased doing so. Another example of something quite different from that is body piercers in Milwaukee that were piercing minors. That's against the law, any piercing that occurs in to an 18-year-old under 18. We also launched a public education campaign as it related to spas. Now, this sounds weird, but there was an incident in California that caused skin tuberculosis because of contaminants and unsanitary conditions in foot baths. That's something that we get involved in, and that's something we make sure that practitioners are following certain standards. One needle use and disposable needles for piercers and tattooers. That's a very common thing that we would look into. We have 6 performance measures. If you'd like me to move into those?
Yes, please.
We've hit our 100% target for the past 4 years and fell short in a couple of areas. Some of those were related to our computer conversion and not counting quite right. I will go over the performance measure. One is contested case actions resolved through informal settlement resolution. Number 2 is the percent of critical status complaints investigated within 1 week of receipt. Number 3 is consumer contacts, telephone requests, information resources distributed, and number of participants and outreach. Number four is stakeholder constituent participation in agency meetings. Number five is HLO programs that remove artificial barriers to licensure. We're deleting this one. This was one of those measures that we had difficulties controlling what goes on in other states, so or whether or not, you know, we can have a reciprocal agreement with another state. That would be something out of our control. We've continued to make that one of our focus pieces to make sure anything in Oregon that restricts somebody from being licensed in our office at least is looked at and tried to make it more streamlined. Performance measure number six is a consumer survey. Results with ratings above satisfactory are also being measured.
Committee, we're going to get the binders out, which have some of the additional information she's referring to.
Okay. the agency's measures link directly to the agency's mission and goals, and we attempt to provide, with these agency goals, some sort of meaningful feedback so we can improve our services. I think, made some positive business adjustments in our regulatory environment to continue to provide as much excellent customer service as possible, and we've utilized our performance measures in these areas. Did you want me to wait? Take this up later, or
why don't you go ahead? And
okay, I'm sorry if I fell out of the step of the organization. Okay.
Just go ahead.
Okay. I also have provided the committee, and we can come back to performance measures, and if you have questions, once you have that in front of you. We've also provided the committee with the agency governor's recommended 10% agency operating budget reductions. If there are questions about those or comments. This is my point that I turn it over to Department of Administrative Services. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
One of the choices. Yes.
I just have a question. I mean, we have a 10% reduction, but this actually we're increasing it. You know, the governor's budget about 8%. You see, there's not much of an increase in FTEs, but there's almost a $500,000 increase from 203 to 205. What, can you explain how, where's that all coming from?
Sure. Chair Devlin, Senator Nelson. We're still completing a computer conversion that we had started, the legislature sanctioned in 2003, so we can get into the e-government mode and complete that process. That's a piece of it. The other piece, which would increase our budget, is about a $300,000 package that you'll see. It's actually a pass-through for a national examination. We collect the revenue and then pay the national organization for their national tests. So our actual expenditures are increasing based on that. So that sounds like it's...
Yes. There's also a fee increase. I guess I didn't realize there was a fee increase involved with this thing, too. Is that?
There is also a separate fee bill.
Yes.
Yeah. I guess I mean, that was something, when you came and talked to me last week, I didn't realize that. So. Could you kind of explain that?
Sure.
Before we do that.
Okay.
Well, we have to. You'd rather not do that.
Can I open the? I'll open the hearing on 5035 also.
Okay. Let me get to that segment. Chair Devlin and Senator Nelson. Chair Devlin, Senator Nelson, actually what you're seeing, I believe, in this fee bill is fees being changed to individual fields of practice for cosmetology, which actually are somewhat of a decrease for some group and an increase for those that may have three or four licenses. The fee for cosmetology licenses are now $50, and we're changing that to 33 in each category. So each of those categories will be $33.
Yes.
Also,
is that legal to reduce fees?
rarely done, Representative Jensen, but not illegal.
The other segment of that is actually, I think, related to electrology. This is all in one fee bill, by the way, because all these fees feed into our office. And that electrology facility license fee, yes, did go up. But actually, last session, their licensing fee went down. So it was an offset. We're making sure that folks that own the facilities are paying for the actual inspections. And so we were just offsetting. And I believe there was an increase on late fees, correct? Yes? And cosmetology. Thanks, my help over here. Were there any other questions, Senator Nelson?
Senator Gordley and then, or Senator Nelson.
Is the written examination, that's an added fee, that extra $25, is that covering this new test?
Chair Devlin and Senator Nelson, yes. The written examination, they've had a written examination. We're moving to a national. That, again, is that reciprocity piece. Once we move to that national examination, Oregon licensees will be automatically licensed in 31 other states, which is good, a good thing. They can travel and they're mobile and they can do anything within the United States in 31 states. So this is a good move, we believe.
Well, because Washington and California and Idaho, are they part of the 31 states?
I believe, and I'm speaking off the top of my head right now, I know that Idaho, Arizona, Washington, and I don't think California have the national.
Washington, California don't.
No, California is the only one that doesn't out of that group. I'm kind of looking at the western region of the United States.
I'm just thinking people going across the border. And Washington didn't have it. Why would people in Oregon want it?
Yeah.
People in the corner of my area. Okay, thank you.
Senator Gordley, then Senator Whitson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We kind of skated by the governor's reductions.
Sure.
Were you planning to come back to that, Mr. Chair?
Yes. Actually, I think what I'll do is actually go ahead as soon as we have Senator Whitson's questions also to the BAM presentation. Then we will come back and go through the performance measures again because people now have them in front of them, and then the governor's reductions.
Okay, because I do have a question about the governor's reductions, but I'll hold that until we get back to the subject.
Okay. Senator
Whitson. Ms. Wilson, in the field of cosmetology, I mean, how many of these individuals within the field of cosmetology have more than one technology? I mean, you're saying we're reducing the fee from $50 to $33, but it would appear to me that maybe there's a lot of them that do both hair design and barbering, which will, in fact, increase it. Could you discuss that a little bit, please?
Sure. Senator Devlin, Representative. Yes, you're absolutely correct. There are some that do have practitioners' licenses in each individual field. In 1977, the legislature took action to compartmentalize each of those fields of practice. So an individual can go to school in just one area. And what we didn't do at the time, and I wasn't around in 1977, was fix with those fees a license that goes with that education. We bundled everything. And we've been advised by our Attorney General that we needed to separate those items so they fit with the educational piece. And an individual can choose to be licensed in three categories, one category, or two categories. Yes, in answer to your question, some people that hold licenses, more than one license, will see a fee increase.
Mr. Devlin?
Yes.
Could you quantify that a little bit? I mean, is there is that just a few instances where more people will be paying a higher licensing fee, or is that going to be the preponderance of the people that are going to be doing a thing? And finally, is this change in essence will result in an increase in revenue for your department?
Chair Devlin, Representative. And the answer to your question is we've asked ourselves the question, and we've tried to do as much statistical you know, running the numbers. We've done questionnaires. We've been out there for 2 years trying to get some example of where we think our revenues are going to be. And we can't until we do this. And if it does turn out that our revenues do increase, we will adjust those fees. We had to come up with something that was reasonable. We're also in this position of not knowing if we do this, if we're going to have enough revenue. So we had to err on the side of being cautious, and we believe that's what we did. We held outreach meetings with our practitioners, talked to them about it, and we know that there's going to be some reduction for some of the folks, and we know for others who have those dual licenses, there will be some increase. But we won't know probably for a biennium if that increase will actually increase our revenues appreciably. We're hoping that our information gathering and calculating the numbers will turn out a wash.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Before we go to Representative Wisnett, I think the basic question then people might ask is, why do it? Why break it up into the different categories? Was there were there many requests to do that? Or was it something that makes regulation more efficient? If you can respond.
Sure, I can try. And remember, I'm running the risk of trying to determine what went on in 1977 in front of the legislature then. And I can tell you from historic viewpoint, funneling individuals into one profession and forcing them to take all the segments of that profession and not allowing them to practice in one specific area, I think, was the reason. To separate the education.
That sounds rational.
Okay, that sounds rational.
Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question from Mrs. Mentia. That's how you say it.
Mm-hmm. Mentia.
And the chair, too. In the analysis you gave us on this agency, you've got beside the Board of Athletic Trainers that the regulation sunsets December 2005. Can you talk about that? And then the next question is for the chair. Mr. Chair, and I didn't. Mrs. Wilson came by and gave me a good pre-brief on this thing, but I'm worried again about the FBI checks. We don't seem like a body. We're being consistent, because I don't think you require that of any of your agencies. But I would wonder if we really should look at athletic trainers, you know, midwives, and the respiratory therapist licensing. I don't know. I'm concerned in today's world. If we're licensing some people that are having direct contact with, you know, people in the community, their homes, or whatever, and not. So that's my two comments for you and the LL.
Representative Wisnett, I guess the question there, well, I think that discussion has considerable merit about having a consistent policy. We need to probably move that discussion into one of the relative substantive committees. It's a policy discussion, not really a ways and means discussion. But I think that's something that clearly could be brought up in one of the relevant health-related committees, particularly. And your first item was
the sunset.
I'm just going to kid here for a second. Maybe that was the provision someone had to agree to get the bill passed originally. But,
Mr. Chair, Representative Wisnett, I'll start kind of at the end in that I believe it's House Bill 2058. Looking for a nod.
Mm-hmm.
It rescinds the sunset for athletic trainers. So, and so you'll see this come back in. If you wanted more of an explanation about why it was sunsetted, I'd look to the agency.
That's fine, thank you.
Okay.
Representative March.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. While we're on this kind of broader issue of policy questions, I'd like your board to kind of take back this thought. Making consumer protection a top priority, and you have 8 boards and 8 public members. And I know, for example, the hearing aid board is there's a bill to increase the number of public members on that. And if you're really going to make the consumer part of this, maybe we ought to look at that mix on those boards.
I agree.
Thank you.
At this point, we'll go to the budget management presentation. Then we will come back to the performance measures, and then the co-chairs requested 10% reductions. Please proceed.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee. My name is Valentina Fomenko, Budget and Management Division, Department of Administrative Services. And you have a handout in front of you. It has my presentation on it. I will be referring to those pages. I'm here today to provide just a very brief presentation of a general overview of the agency's budget and to give you context for a more detailed budget discussion that the agency will provide. I will start on page 2 of the handout. That just gives you some statewide context, and the Health Licensing Office is located in the Consumer and Business Services Program Area, and within that program area, it accounts for less than 1% of the total spending, total funds, and the agency is funded by other fund sources. There's no general lottery fund involved. On page 3, as you remember, governor group programs, all state programs within 6 core areas related to long-term well-being of Oregonians, and this agency's budget is linked to the program area related to health and basic needs. The chart on page 4 shows you how the agency is financed. And as I mentioned, there are the basically it's other funds. The entire $5 million of the agency's budget is covered by other fund sources, and the primary source is licensing and examination fees. On page 5, the entire agency's program is located in one program unit, which is operations. Now let's talk about spending categories in the agency's budget. The 63% of spending happens in personal services. That's personnel costs for the 27 positions that the agency has. Service and supplies, 36%. And finally, capital outlay, less than 1%. That includes costs for computer equipment primarily in this budget. The table on page 7 shows changes in this agency's budget over the last several biennia since 1999. And as you see, there's been some stable growth in the total amount of spending by this agency, and there hasn't been a lot of changes in the number of FTE positions. And there are several policy issues that have impact on the agency's budget, and as Ms. Wilson has already discussed, the agency will implement a uniform agency model, which is standardizing some licensing practices, and it will allow for centralized services for all programs within the agency. The regulation of athletic trainers, which will sunset in December 2005, and even though there is substantive legislation that will repeal the sunset, however, the government's recommended budget was based on an assumption that there would be a sunset. Again, as Ms. Wilson has already pointed out, there will be the agency has requested additional limitation for a contract with the National Examination Board for Cosmetology examination fees, and those that request is in Policy Package 103. And finally, the agency continues to seek technology improvements and will request additional expenditure limitation in Policy Package 102. And with this, I would be happy to take any questions.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Gordley, then Representative March.
I guess this is where I will raise a concern about the 10% reduction.
Um, Senator Gourley, maybe I can get a clarification. The reductions that are here are the reductions that are requested as part of the as part of our process. They're not the governor's reductions. So, but still, still express your concern.
Okay, I'll express it and then continue to try to get a clarification of where we are. The governor's reduction included the removal of one FTE, one of the enforcement staff FTE.
No.
No?
No.
I don't believe so.
Okay.
I think it's... I think these are the reductions that they would recommend as part of our they were requested to do by the co-chair. The governor's recommended budget did not remove any FTEs from the agency.
Okay. I'm looking at page 7 of this document.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at the 0305 legislatively approved budgets at 28, and then in the governor's budget for 0507 drops to 27. What am I missing?
The full-time equivalency stays the same. So it's 27 people. There were 28 people. Now there are 27, but the full-time equivalency actually virtually stayed the same, increased slightly.
Mr. Chair, Senator Gourley, this was a result of a reclassification package, permanent finance package that the agency submitted to DAS during the biennium. Basically, what they did, they did not increase, they gave up a position and restructured a service that were provided by other positions to cover all the workload and by using pretty much the same amount of personal services dollars. This was not related to any reductions. This was not a reduction taken by the governor in the governor's recommended budget.
My overarching concern is that the agency has a mission to protect the health and safety of Oregonians. And so I've focused on the language on page 10 in this document where you laid out your 10% reduction operations and looked at that third item, enforcement. And so I'm just totally confused.
Okay. Why don't we do this, if I could...
About where we are with that position.
Okay. Would it be okay, Senator Gourley, if I go to Representative March, and then I'll change my previous determination, and we will go through these potential reductions, which are actually not the governor's reductions. They're only the reductions that they have to recommend to us as part of this process. We do not have to accept any of those recommendations. And probably would be the agency's desire that we would not actually do some of those reductions. But why don't we do that, and then we can get into this area, and then we'll come back to the performance measures. In light of that, though, can I ask the committee, while we're going through this discussion, to look back at your performance measures and to look at page 28C, so when we get to that, the problem we had before when we went through the performance measures is we had the verbal content of them, but we did not have the agency's actual performance in terms of what they were. So, Representative March, your question, and then we'll go to the potential 10% reduction.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And my question relates to revenues. And it's certainly appropriate that licensing fees and examination fees, fines, and forfeitures are directly related to the licensing function. However, sales of lists and labels seems to me, as since this is a licensee, you know, these are licensees of the state, that perhaps this revenue is more appropriately channeled towards other purposes, you know, towards the broader purpose of consumer protection than narrowly focused within the agency. Just a thought that there is some revenue here that seems different than the rest.
Yeah.
Well, any comment from Des or
yes,
LFO?
I'm happy to take that question, Chair Devlin. Representative March. We're required to charge for any sort of mailing labels or lists. We can't make a profit on that. We have to charge for exactly what the cost of that list would be. But I'm very excited about our presence on the web, because people can download the information from the web now, and we don't have to go through this process of accounting for revenues and as they relate to lists. Does that answer your question? Or
well, then a follow-up on that is I look under here sales income, and I assume that's what we're talking about. Is projected to be at $28,000, almost $29,000. So, and that's quite an increase from the 0103 budget and the 0305 budgets. It's on budget page 82.
Uh-huh.
Is that the correct line for that item?
That would be the correct line, sir, yes. And I'm looking at it.
So
may I bring back additional information? Because I don't have an answer off the top of my head, except that... do you have any idea with that? Okay. We can't answer that.
Thank
We'd
you.
Be happy to provide you with the information.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, we will return then to the proposed, as part of the budget process, 10% reductions. And for sake of clarification here, let's see if I can get back to that page. Page 10. I think what's causing... Well, is the language, as requested, the agency has included in the governor's recommended budget a prioritized list of reduction options. But what we're talking about here is the 10% that's actually requested as part of this budget process. And also...
By this budget process, Mr. Chair, are you saying the co-chairs?
By the co-chairs.
Okay.
And... Okay. And so, why don't we just briefly go through these, this prioritized list, and if you'll give your explanation, then we'll take committee questions. Then we will go back on to the list of performance measures. Would I be making an inappropriate guess if I said these might be basic 10% reductions that were proposed to the governor also?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he did not accept them.
He did not accept them.
Okay.
You have a conference call.
Perhaps.
Yes.
Senator Nelson, do you have further results?
I guess so. Are you planning on moving these bills today?
No. These won't move for quite a while.
Okay, very good.
Yes. Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, Valentina Fomenko, Boston Management. This 10% reduction off, there's a statutory requirement as a part of the budget process. Each agency has to come up with options for 10% reduction. This is basically a worst-case scenario. If something happens and the agency needs to cut to reduce expenditures, this is what we're going to be looking at. It's a statutory requirement, and every agency has to go through it. It's different from the 10% reductions that we're actually taking from other agencies' budgets during this biennium. These are two different 10% reductions. These are options, and these are in each agency's budget.
Okay, we will continue to hear this budget as without a forum, since we're taking no action I think everyone on the committee is aware that the co-chairs could not come to agreement on a co-chair's budget, and therefore Republican members of the legislature in both the House and the Senate are caucusing now. So we will still proceed. And so if you'll go through the 10% reductions.
You do want me to go through those?
Yes. Yeah.
As stated, Senator Gordley, there's a statutory requirement in putting together the budget that each agency, general fund and other fund, come up with a 10% reduction, and we've prioritized those based on the instructions from Department of Administrative Services Budget Management Division for the governor's budget. It begins with the most... You're supposed to prioritize based on the issue that you would cut first. And so if you're looking at page 10 of my testimony, you'll see accounting services agency presently uses the Department of Administrative Services, Shared Client Services, and we've suggested a $105,000 reduction there. Rulemakings and support was another place that we suggested a reduction if we had to consolidate those pieces and try to work with less. Enforcement was the last priority, and as Senator Gordley correctly pointed out, it is part of our mission to protect the consumer. Of course, this would be the most vital, and that's where you picked out the 1.5 FTE, and I really appreciate you recognizing that would be a big issue for the agency, and we do not recommend that. Does that assist in clarifying? I was giving the committee maybe more information than necessary.
I did actually have one question, actually, on the first one, accounting services,
yes,
where you talked about cutting the contracts with the Department of Administrative Services. You're not implying there, are you, that you could do those services for $105,000 less if you did them internally?
Yes, that's the implication. And we're running dual services right now, and the reason I believe we started it in that direction is when we were established in 1999. Operating as getting our footing as an agency that was providing services. We have the internal staff in Ron's shop to do these services, and there's really a duplication of efforts. We were also working with Department of Administrative Services during the interim to reduce this piece as well. So I don't want you to think that we haven't had discussions. It just was part of our suggestion reduction.
I might ask Ms. Manfrey to look further into this issue.
You got it.
Okay. We will go back to performance measures. And I think the issue before us in terms of performance measures was, as I said before, the committee had the verbiage before them, but they didn't actually have the results before them. So if the committee would like to take a look at page 28C in their folders, to see if there are any questions now about the performance measures. Because that shows the actual agency performance.
What Senator Gordley is looking at.
Yeah. I recommend we go to a different page. That seems to be a summary.
That was what I was looking for, is exactly what I was looking for.
Okay.
maybe some.
And key performance
there, measures. That's it. Maybe key.
We'll give you the starting of the more detailed explanation of each performance measure.
I don't have this.
Yes.
You do. That's good.
What I would like to request is that we go back to measure 5, and that was at the very beginning of the agency's presentation.
Now we'll do 28S on this.
And Ms. Wilson was talking about the rationale for the deletion.
Mm-hmm.
If you could repeat that rationale.
Sure, I'd be happy
to. I think I would be able to hear it now.
Okay.
And better understand it.
Okay. Measure 5 is listed in the agency's request to be discontinued, as the agency doesn't have control over the other licensing statutes in other states. We continue to make this a high priority, and when I say that, we've had legislation, rule changes recognizing licenses for license as much as possible. For example, the cosmetology examination moving to the national was one of those moves to try to make sure we can get our licensees mobile. But we don't have control of other states, and we felt this measure, while we could measure information, we couldn't control the outcome at all and fix it or make it better. We only had a control over a small, narrow piece, and that would be Oregon's piece. And beyond that, we didn't have any control. So that's why we're removing it, but we do believe we'll continue to our efforts in that direction. Does that answer Senator's question?
It does.
Are there any additional questions about performance measures?
I would just like to comment further, if I may, Mr. Chair, on the agency's affirmative action plan. And while there is not a performance measure directly tied to that, and perhaps there should be or could be, I just want to say on the record that this is an agency that is doing some outstanding work in moving an affirmative action plan forward. If you look at the strategies that are laid out in the report that we have in front of us, I did get a chance to review that. And if you read the cover page, it says the Health Licensing Office is committed to building a workforce that represents the diversity of Oregon communities and affords equal opportunity to all. And what's real clear to me from the language in the plan and the strategies in the plan, that these words are not just a statement. There's an internalized commitment, on the part of the agency to move this plan forward. And so I just want to commend you for that, knowing how hard you're working in collaboration with the governor's office and the director of affirmative action there, the outreach that you've been doing to the other the advocacy commissions and other organizations that I'm not familiar with, but you're doing the work, and that's what's been that's what's required. So I want to acknowledge that and commend the work, and say that perhaps we should look at a performance measure that is linked to the work that you're doing around affirmative action and increasing diversity, because you're getting results. And you're leading the effort, the statewide effort that includes all of the health licensing boards, agencies.
Thank you so much.
Senator Gordley, would you like to consider that a request, and I can have Ms. Manfrey work on it with the agency?
I would.
Mm-hmm. any additional questions on performance measures? If not, we will go to agency essential packages and agency policy packages. and that should probably conclude our hearing for today, and we'll just have some closing comments. Okay.
Did you want me to go through essential packages? That Ron would be available to give the committee any detail on the essential packages that I can outline in my comments.
That would be fine.
Okay, the agency has three essential packages. The package 10010 makes technical adjustments to the non-PICS personal service adjustments that were part of the PERS pension bonding system, and that is totals about $130,000, $128,000 of that was PERS.
Okay.
021. This is the support and information technology project. This is phased out. Phased out amount is it's our ongoing support piece. So it's $117,000. And 022 phases out beyond the one-time expenditures for information technology, and that's $495,000. And remember, we have a package in our policy packages to make an adjustment and add a one-time cost for completing the conversion process.
Any questions about those? And then why don't we go on to the policy packages or policy?
The agency budget request is considered workload increases, the number of licensees and enforcement activities in presenting our budget today and our policy packages. Our aim is to improve the agency's ability to provide services efficiently without increasing our FTE. We've had that as a major focus in the last, since 1999. We've tried to reorganize within our office and be as efficient as possible, and thresholds are gaining on us. I just want to point that out. But we have done a good job of doing that, and we think we continue to do so, as you can see, with our packages today. 101 seeks to reclassify three positions and align their duties with their responsibilities. This is something that went through the Department of Administrative Services, Human Services Division, for review, and did all the required steps for that particular package. Package 102 is the $149,000 of one-time costs that continue the technology asset management plan and continue that process. And package number 103 is that piece that continues to reduce barriers for people that are seeking to work in other states in the nation, and allows us to provide a national examination for the cosmetology profession. Did you want me to go further than that?
No, that should be fine. Any additional questions from the committee?
Mr. Chair, we're getting increasingly smaller.
I know. And we may even decline further. Is there anything else that you'd want to bring to the committee's attention at this time? You will be back before the committee, I believe, at least a couple more times before we finish our deliberations.
Chair Devlin, if there aren't any more questions, I think I would like to leave it where it is.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I just wanted to thank Ms. Wilson for the presentation. This was one of the more thorough presentations we've received this session, and I truly appreciate it. Thank you.
I think we only got a little bit off because we went through the performance measures, and people are so used to seeing performance measures and then seeing actual statistics on those performance measures.
Sure.
And since they were in two different locations, the committee probably...
And Mr. Chair, I apologize. I'll make sure that the binders are out next time for you.
Okay.
That was my fault.
And it's also Monday morning.
It's also Monday morning, and
I appreciate that.
There is a lot happening in the building right now.
Okay,
so,
just a little.
Well, thank you very much for your presentation.
You.
We will see you back sometime later in this phase.
Okay.
Thank you very much, and I will close both hearings and close this committee till 8:30 tomorrow morning.
Passing your stuff.